Praise the Lord. Once again, welcome to our Jesus and His Miracles Zoom service. I'm so excited to see each of you here. And let's expect as we come together, even though it's about an hour, but the time that we spend together in the presence of the Lord will not be wasted. Can someone say amen? The time that we spend together in the presence of God, will always bring joy, peace, and encouragement to our soul. So tonight, I just want you to open up your heart. And as we come, let's believe and expect the Lord can touch you. The Lord can renew you. As I always say, we don't just come and honor Him, but we also, in the same time, we also want to open up our heart and to receive from our God. Now, someone even asked me, what is the meaning of true humility? I have good news for you. True humility is simply believing and receiving all that God has prepared for us. You know, sometimes we are so proud. We say, no, I need to earn it myself. No, true humility is simply come and believe and receive the love that God has for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So even miracles and healing, you know, sometimes, you know, God simply just wants us to come and believe and receive. You don't have to reject. You don't have to fight because He loves us. And the Bible says God desired to bless us and always grant each of us His blessing and His favor because we are His children. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me go straight, dive straight to tonight's topic. In fact, tonight, I believe God wants me to touch on this topic called the wonder of His grace. Now, the wonder of His grace. I believe just like the scripture or the song we just sang just now is about the grace of our Lord. Now, we all believe that the grace of God comes to us by believing His only Son, Jesus Christ, because the scriptures say to us, you know, law came through Moses, but grace, you know, came through our Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, I believe when we come together and learn how to receive everything that God has for us. Now, everything that God has for us already been prepared, not because we deserve it, it's simply because of His grace. What is the meaning of grace? It simply means undeserved favor. Amen. So none of us actually deserve any good things from God, but because of His mercy, because of His grace, God, our Father God granted us His love. This love is called everlasting love. And God granted each of us His blessing in it and also His inheritance by His grace, not because we deserve it. Now, just before I move on, I just want you to listen to this short testimony from this sister. Very short, but very powerful testimony about her life, how she came back to God. Even though that she rebelled, she came to know Jesus. She knew Jesus, but did not really follow Jesus for some time. But then something happened to her life. But somehow the grace of the Lord brought her back, you know, to God Himself. And not only that, even her life, she actually experienced miracle and restoration because of the grace of the Lord. So I want you to listen to this testimony, and then I will come back and share the word of God, and we pray together. Right, Peter?
I seldom fall sick. I seldom take MCs.
She doesn't smoke, she doesn't drink. She exercises regularly.
So I kept asking the surgeon, is this really a cancer?
I felt powerless because being a doctor, I can't do anything.
I didn't dare to pray because I walk away from God. If it's time for me to go, I will just go. When I was young, I thought it was quite cool to be a Christian. But after a while, I was putting other things in priority of God. My exams are always more important than other things. Going out party is more important than going to church. I didn't fully appreciate what salvation was. To me, it's just a religion. It's not a relationship with God. I just felt very heavy laden, and going to church is a chore. After I met KK, he was not from a Christian family as well. That was where I drifted away from God. I didn't want to go back to church because, like, my family, they are not Christians and he is not Christians. If you go to church, like, by yourself, so there's no family support, I just couldn't do it.
I thought, you know, why do we need all this religion? Because I study medicine, so everything is evidence-based. I never thought that I will believe in God and things like that. It was the Friday afternoon when she texted me and said that she has this severe pain.
The pain was so unbearable, like the head was just spinning and I was in cold sweat.
Being a doctor myself, I examined her. I thought there's something not right, so I called the clinic and asked the doctor to refer her to Mount E for scope.
After doing all the scope, they couldn't find anything. In the end, we did the ultrasound and they found a big lump at the liver.
Because of the size of the lump, whether it's benign or not, you should take it out. But just before the operation, we received the blood test back and the cancer markers was very high.
So within 2 days, I had the left hepatectomy done. That was the left lobe of the liver.
The surgeon came out and said that it was a large cancer. Furthermore, the cancer has spread to the portal vein, which means that there's a possibility that it can spread to other organs as well. It was at least a stage 3B liver cancer. People don't do well when they have liver cancer. Average, most people may live sometimes as low as, you know, 7% to 20%. It's very difficult, yeah.
So I kept asking the surgeon, is this really a cancer? I couldn't accept the fact that this thing would strike me. We both cried in the hospital. It was really just too much to take. At that time, I felt that it was a punishment. I didn't dare to pray because I walked away from God. If it's time for me to go, I will just go. While waiting for the PET scan, friends of ours actually asked us out for breakfast. They have been attending New Creation Church for many years. My friend actually handed me a Healing Promises book by Pastor Joseph Prince. I started reading the Healing Promises and realized that God is out to heal. God loves us. He sacrificed His Son so that, you know, our health is being restored. I began to realize that all this cancer is a curse, not because it's God's doing. I felt very peaceful and assured that I'll be all right. I got the PET scan result on Christmas Eve. That morning, I went to the hospital anxiously, opening up the result, and there was no cancer spread. The cancer has been confined in the liver itself. I was very happy that God answered the prayer. That was actually the greatest Christmas gift that I ever received in my whole life. On 29 December 2013, which was the Thanksgiving Sunday, that was the first time we came to New Creation Church. God seemed to know that I was coming, and He has tailored the message especially for me, how to live free from the curse. For the first time, I felt that, you know, why all this year I have been shutting Him away, but He never gave up on me.
The sermon was so anointed that I decided to accept God as my Saviour and my Lord.
I was very happy and also I'm glad that He was converted. I didn't have to come to church alone anymore. Before my breakfast, I will always take Holy Communion. That is the most important meal of the day. I will always meditate on God's words because I find that by doing it before I start my day, I actually cope with the challenges ahead better, and also the stress level also goes down.
I'd like to thank Jesus for suffering at the cross. Because of the suffering, Vivian is healed and we are all healed, disease-free because of His blood, that, you know, we are made righteous forever.
God never gave up on me, despite I was so rebellious previously that I walked away from Him, but He never gave up. His love endures forever. It's a relationship, not a religion anymore.
Jesus is awesome.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Truly, Jesus is awesome. Can someone say amen? Amen. I'm not sure about you, but as I was watching this short video or testimony, I couldn't help but thank God for His grace. Even though, this sister said that when she heard the bad news, she dare not pray because she thought that, she had been walking away from God. And now, when she was in trouble, she dare not pray, thinking, and this God will punish her, will continue to, judge her. But thank God, because of the grace of God and the grace of the Lord, draw her back to Himself, to God's presence. Now, I just want to talk to you. I believe this testimony has already blessed your heart even before I preach, because some of you tonight, as you join this service, each of us, we have our own challenges in life. Now, even though we have been a Christian or believers of the Lord for many years, that does not mean that we are free from challenges or problem, because Jesus said, as long that we live in this world, we will have sorrows or problem. Amen. But then Jesus always said to us, "Take heart, I have overcome." So tonight, I just want to encourage you, no matter what challenges we are going through in life. Now, maybe some of us, you are going through physical challenges. You are unwell, you have sickness, you have pain in your body, and you have consulted your physician, doctors, and you have taken medication. By all means, continue to do what you need to do. But can I encourage you, come back and fix your eyes on Jesus. Continue to trust in Him and learn to and learn to ask of Him, because He never gave up on us. Can someone say amen? Some of you are going through relationship problem. Maybe your family members are fighting all the time, or your relationship with your spouse may not be well due to some misunderstanding or whatever things happened to you. I have good news for you. God never gave up on us. And all you need to do is to continue to believe that He loves you, and His love is everlasting. Amen. God's love is everlasting, means never stop. His love is unchanging. He will never change His mind. He never say, "Just because you walk away from me, I will stop loving you." No. His love and His grace will always welcome you back. So as human being, we make mistake, we make a wrong decision sometime. We may walk away from God. And maybe some of you probably have walked away from God, but tonight I believe His love and His grace will draw you back to Him, because He loves you. And because He loves you to the point that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and me. And so I believe when you come back to Him, He will not give you a long lecture. He will not judge you, punish you. But I believe, yes, He may discipline you, He may correct you, but everything He would do it with His love to restore you back to His presence. All right. So tonight, just allow me to share a couple of thoughts with you concerning about the wonder of His grace. Now, first of all, maybe we can look at the scripture taken from Gospel of Luke, chapter 36, verse to chapter 7, reading from verse 36 to 15. I believe it's important for us to look at what the word of the Lord say is about the story of Jesus being anointed or being anointed by a sinful woman. Now, chapter 7, verse 36, the Bible say, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And verse 37, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. No, I like to emphasize that. A woman in the town who lived a sinful life. Some scholars say that she probably was a prostitute. All right. Or some say that she probably been sleeping around with many men. So the Bible described her who lived a sinful life. Learned that Jesus was eating at a Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And verse 38, as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping means that she was sorry and she was not enjoying her sinful life. In fact, I knew I believe that she had been trying to live a holy life, but somehow she failed. She couldn't. She didn't have the power. So when she came to Jesus, the Bible say, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Then verse 38, 39. When the Pharisees who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man, now this man actually questioned whether Jesus is really a man of God, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Just let me explain a little bit. For the religious people, any unholy, any unclean woman or man touching you, they believe that you too also become unclean. That's why in religion or so-called the law forbids people who has Pharisees or person who is unclean, to come near them. So that's why normally people who live an immoral life, who have leprosy, were always considered as an outcast. So when the Pharisees who invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this Jesus, this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Wow. Then verse 40, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owe money to a certain money lender. One owe him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? It's a very good question. Verse 43, Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. Then Jesus answered, you have judged correctly, Jesus said. Now, verse 44, following me carefully. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And verse 45, you did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. Now, verse 46, you did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. And therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, this is a very important declaration that Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And verse 49, the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Wow. Then verse 40, Jesus saying to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, just allow me to explain to you very quickly. I just want to explain to you three important points about grace. Now, from this passage of scripture, we can see is about the grace of God, that the grace that bring the grace that reaching out to this woman who was considered as a great sinner in the eyes of religious people. Now, I want you to understand that there are a few things I want you to learn about the God's grace. First of all, God's grace can only be received by faith. Now, I hope you can repeat this together with me in where you are now. God's grace can only be received by faith. Amen. Now, there is a statement I often make, but I also heard a lot of men of God say that grace is God's part. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. What I'm trying to tell you today, every good things, or rather every problem that we face in life on this earth, God already prepared a solution for us, right? So God has all the solution for our problem, including sin. Now, the greatest problem of mankind is sin. That also God has already settled through His Son Jesus Christ. So by doing what? Simply by God's grace, not because we have done something good, not because we have prayed long enough, we fasted long enough. No, all these things are important, but none of all this can save us or make us holy and righteous. All right, so it's all about the grace of God. The Bible says all of us, we have been saved by the grace of God. You know, all of us, we have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So remember this, God's grace can only be received by faith. Though God has done every good thing through His Son, Jesus Christ, you know, as far as God is concerned, He has done everything. He has completed His work through His Son, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen for that? In fact, Jesus, before He breathed His last on the cross, what He said, "It is finished," means that everything that we need to live our life on this earth as a citizen of heaven, God already provided by His grace. So in order for us to receive everything that God has for us, in order for us to receive or experience everything that God has prepared for us, we need to respond by faith. We need to receive by faith. Just like salvation, you know, God has done everything through His Son. And so how can you receive your salvation? It's by faith. Amen. It's not by work. That's why Paul constantly reminds the believers, it is by faith you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Likewise, I believe, just like the scriptures say in the book of Ephesians, in fact, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Means what? All the good things from heaven. You know, spiritual blessing including salvation, healing, deliverance, you know, blessings, and all the good things, you know, from heaven. You know, you just imagine in heaven, you know, you will see all the good things, blessing, love, health, and you know, joy, peace, and you know, strength. You don't see sickness in heaven. You won't see fear in heaven. You won't see darkness in heaven. So that's why Jesus taught us to pray. You know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, you know, as is in heaven. So God actually desired us to believe everything that He has for us already been established, you know, through His Son. So the Bible says God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So now, how can you experience the grace of the Lord? It's simply by faith, right? So grace, you know, tonight I have good news for you. If you desire to receive your breakthrough, you know, be it a miracle for your health, be it a miracle for your family, be it a miracle for your children or your business, whatever. You know, I just want you to know. I just want you to know this: God already established everything. All you need to do is simply come to Him and know all His word, His love for you, and learn to receive everything that God has for you by faith. Amen. So that's called. God's grace can only be received by faith. It's not, you don't have to go through spiritual warfare or pray 40 days, 40 nights, even though all these things can be good. There's a place for that. But I want you to know that you simply have to come to Him and believe and receive by faith. Now, secondly, about God's grace. Now, God's grace draws us back to Himself. Can you say big amen on that? Now, you watched the video about that sister. She knew Jesus, but after a while, she walked away from Jesus. She did not honor Jesus. She did not walk with Jesus. In fact, we can even call her a backsliding Christian. She backslided. She did not worship God. She did not go to church. She did not follow Jesus, maybe for many years, but then until something happened. All right? So you remember what she said. You know, she did not pray, even though she knew there is God. But she did not pray to God because she thought that she has, you know, the Chinese people always say, I have no faith to come back to God. You still remember the prodigal son? When the prodigal son sinned against his father, he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. All right, but you all know the story. The father embraced him, welcomed him with gladness, with joy. That's called what? Amazing grace, amazing love, instead of giving him a long lecture. So that sister too, you know, when the moment she heard something bad happened to her, you know, instead of coming to God quickly, she was so guilty and she dare not pray. But thank God for a good friend, a good godly friend. You know, someone, she said that someone catch up with her, met her up with breakfast and passed her a healing book by Pastor Joseph Prince. And she started to read the book and fell, you know, the love of God never failed. God's never gave up on her. God still loved her in spite of her rebellion. No, you know, that's why a lot of people say grace is to empower you to continue to sin against God. No, grace, remember this, grace always draws us back to God. And, amen? In fact, fear, condemnations, and guilt always hinder people to come back to God. So I have news for you tonight. If you have been walking far away from God, or maybe you, because you are suffering now, you thought that God is punishing you. That's not the God whom we serve. Can you say amen? If you are suffering, you are going through challenges, no, God is not punishing you. You know, during this time, you need to come back to God, knowing that God loves you, you know, with unconditional love. Knowing that he loves you with everlasting love. Knowing that his grace is always for you. And his grace will always empower you. And so grace, now I want to make it clear, grace will always draw us back to God's presence first. Now, God, if you think that grace will always want you, draw you back to receive healing and deliverance and blessing, you already missed something. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, don't chase after the blessing, don't chase after the healing, don't chase after the deliverance, or don't chase after the answer. The grace being given to us, the very first call is this, that we may draw back close to God. Amen. So God desires you, we are his children, to draw close to him first. Now, can I encourage you for a while, forget about the blessing? Can I encourage you? Forget, you know, just forget a while about the healing that you desire. Let's forget about the deliverance or the breakthrough, whatever blessing that you desire from God. Can I encourage you? Let the grace of God draw you back to God first. Because why? Because when you draw close to God, when you come back to him, because the Bible says to us, in him there is life, in God there is love, in his presence there is fullness of joy. So, my brothers and sisters, when you can draw back, draw yourself closer, draw close to God, when you can come back to God, you have nothing to worry about because God becomes your everything. Can someone say amen? Amen? God becomes your everything. God will become your supplier. He is your provider. He is your healer. He is your strength. He is your shield. He is everything to you. So can I encourage you, don't after the things of God. Let's after God himself. That's why Jesus came to this world. He came and he said to us that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he's desired to bring us back to God, reconnect us back to God. And by doing so, we can receive life, not just eternal life, but life more abundantly. Amen. And I have good news for you. God desires you to experience life more abundantly. So remember this, God's grace draw us back to God. And when you can draw back to God, you know, you will feel his presence. You will find that his presence will always lift you up, sustain you, empower you. And you no longer need to worry about tomorrow, about your needs, because you know God is for you. Who can be against you? All right, so remember God's will always, grace always draw you back to God, not away from God. Then fear, condemnations, and guilt hinders people to come back to God. Don't allow You don't allow fear, don't allow your so-called failure to stop you coming back to God. When you come back to God, I can say this to you, God will always welcome you, you know, with his arms open wide, because he loves you. He's a good father. Now, very quickly, let's go to third point, third reminder about God's grace. God's grace always bring transformation. Can you say amen? Now, when you study the life of the woman just now anointed the feet of Jesus, and when you know, and Jesus is the grace of God. I have news for you. When you talk about grace, you cannot talk about grace, and you cannot receive grace apart from Jesus. I want to make this statement again. Apart from Jesus, there is no grace. Apart from Jesus, there is no grace. But when you have Jesus, you have the grace of God. So let this grace, and this grace wants to transform you, not just touch you and then go back and become the same person. This grace, in fact, the another interpretation of God's grace is God's enabling power. Grace of God is power. So whenever we experience the grace of God, something powerful, something great will always happen, because the grace of God will transform us. Now, whether is, you know, I don't believe it's just confined to us spiritually. I believe God's grace will transform us spiritually. Yes, you know, we will become from sinner, we become the children of God. That's something happened to us spiritually speaking. We become born again. But I also believe, you know, in every area of our lives. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I really believe Jesus did not just come and die for us spiritually. He dies so that we can enjoy life, abundant life in every area of our life. So I believe even physically, you can also experience transformation. In other words, if you come to Jesus, you allow his grace to touch you, you allow the grace of God to continue to fill you, I believe his grace will transform you. No, in other words, supernatural healing can happen to you. That means that's why I have seen so many people got healed, got set free supernaturally. Now, we heard the testimony from this sister. You know, she, even though, yes, God still used doctors and surgeon and medication, but most importantly, she felt the peace of God, and God led her one step at a time. And today, she even openly declared that she is cancer-free, she is disease-free because of Lord Jesus Christ. So, you see, grace will allow us to experience transformation. We will experience supernatural breakthrough. Can you say amen? So if you are the kind of person, you are suffering, you have challenges, you know, in your body, in your relationship, in your work, in your business, whatever challenges you are going through, you know, don't struggle, don't try to fight, you know, just simply come and look to Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, always, not once in a while, always walk with Jesus, and let the grace of the Lord transform you. Let the grace of the Lord take over. All right? Because it's not about you. It's all about him. You know, when you allow the grace of the Lord, you will experience, I declare this to you tonight, you will experience supernatural breakthrough. Can you say big amen? Can you start visualize as, you know, you're going to experience supernatural breakthrough in your body? You may have a lot of pain, a lot of sickness. Doctor may say, as long as you live, you may have to depend on certain medication. You are suffering, but I want you to start allowing the grace of the Lord to work in you, in your body, and for your. Then I want to declare that you shall receive your supernatural breakthrough. Divine health will come upon you, and I want to encourage you to start seeing your so-called rebellious child or have been walked away from God. You know, they used to attend church, they used to follow Jesus. But now you have seen they have walked away from God, even though you have been trying to talk to them, counsel them, yet, you know, nothing works. And you are struggling, and you always, you know, devil sometimes may even whisper to you, thinking that it's all about your fault, all because the way you raise up your, you use the wrong methods to raise up your kids. But I have good news for you. Don't feel condemned. Let the grace of the Lord begin to work in your life, work in your family. And I believe his grace will turn things around. Can someone say amen? And start seeing your children, You know, your family will experience restoration and reconciliation because God's grace is His grace and mercy anew every morning. I think I reminded the congregation a few weeks ago, you know, just because things did not happen to us yesterday, last week, last year, does not mean that the grace of the Lord cannot work for us today and tomorrow, because His grace are new and grace and mercy are new every morning. Tomorrow can be a day of miracle for you because God's grace is power. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will experience supernatural breakthrough when we learn to rest before God. In others, you see, friends, when you know about His love, about His grace, you no longer need to struggle. Learn to rest. Everyone say rest. Learn to rest. Why you can rest? Because you know God loves you. He cares for you. That's why the Bible says, cast all your cares and your burdens unto Him, for He cares for you. So when you know God cares for you, He has all the answer. He has done everything. You no longer need to struggle, but learn to rest and learn to let go, learn to surrender, learn to submit, learn to enjoy Him. And then I believe when you rest, listen, the grace of God will begin to work in your life and for you. Can someone say amen? When you learn to rest in Jesus, you will begin to see God's grace will begin to work in your life, in your family, you know, in your business, whatever area you are struggling, the grace of the Lord will begin to work. Because there is a saying, when you work, God rests. But when you rest, God works. So I will prefer to rest and let the grace of the Lord work in my life and through my life. All right, so tonight, I hope this simple sharing touch your heart, encourage you to continue to look to Jesus. All right, continue to look to Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about your hard work. It's not about your discipline, even though all this are important. But I want to say this to you. You know, when you have His grace will draw you back to God. You walk closer to God and you will love His grace to change you and transform you. In fact, the grace of God will cause you to walk powerfully before God and live powerfully as the living testimony in this world, because His grace is more than enough. Can someone say amen? We sang a song, His grace is enough. So what we need is His grace. Every day of your life, I pray that you will experience His grace. And so that you will shine for Jesus. Can someone say amen?